Welcome to A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. We're involved in a study of word by word, verse by verse, phrase by phrase of the Book of Romans, the system of salvation that God has devised and delivered to give salvation to mankind from his sins. And we're now in the third chapter, and we're going to begin our study with verse 23. Having spent considerable time in these first few chapters and verses, the Apostle Paul has emphasized how that salvation is needed by all, both Jew and Gentile, and that both can be saved by the same system of faith that God has devised for us. He says in verse 23 through 26, some things that really opens up unto us some of the parts of this system, some of the things that have gone into this system, which were included in it, which was necessary, from which it has come. And we have more here in these next few verses than we've had thus far about the makeup of this system of salvation. Now, he begins by saying that which he has proved in the previous chapters, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, that's true not only with the Jew and the Gentile back in ancient times. That's true of me and you. That's true of all mankind even today. And he's given us a very graphic description of what it is to be in sin. And all have sinned. They've all come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? That means we all need this system of salvation. And then he says, being justified freely by his grace. This is a system that is founded by the grace of God. The grace of God is an unmerited favor that God has offered unto man and given unto man that he didn't deserve. But nonetheless, God has offered salvation. It's a system based upon grace. Now, it's not by grace alone that man is saved. Never does the Bible teach that. Because all these other things are involved also in the way God saves man. And he mentions another one in the very next phrase. We're justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now, to redeem a thing means to buy it back. I like the statement that says we sell our souls to Satan by sinning, and Christ has bought us back. He has paid the penalty. He paid the price. He purchased the church by his own blood, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. And dear friend, the blood of Jesus Christ has purchased something that is essential, and that's his church. And the awesome price that he paid there on the cross. And this redemption, he says, that is in Christ Jesus. To be bought back from our sins, we have to be in Christ. The Bible teaches us how to get into Christ. We are baptized into Christ, Galatians 3:27 and Romans 6:3-4. And so when we are in Christ, we've been bought back by the grace of God. Then he says of Christ in verse 25, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Notice the word, friend, propitiation. That's a word that we do not speak of mostly in our conversations. It's a rare word in our talk. But it simply means this is the appeasement of God's wrath. This is the way that God has provided that man can be saved from the wrath of God against sinfulness. And he says it's a propitiation through faith. The system of salvation is indeed a system of man's faith. Faith in what? Faith in his blood. It doesn't teach that we're saved by grace alone. It doesn't teach that we're saved by redemption alone. It doesn't teach that we're saved by faith alone. It doesn't teach that we're saved by his blood alone without anything else. all of these things are involved in the system of salvation. And he says to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins. This system of salvation is accomplished for man by man being forgiven of his sins. And for what sins? For sins that are past. That would be our personal past sins. But the implication also is that sins were not forgiven under the former systems under which Jews and Gentiles lived, but the sins were forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 7 and verse 15 emphasizes the point. The blood of Christ is that by which those who lived in previous days were saved from their sins. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And we can say without the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, there's no remission of sins. You know, we sing that wonderful hymn, "What can wash away my sins?" And the answer comes ringing back, "Nothing but the blood of Jesus." We have remission of sins because our sins are washed away by his blood. Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, Paul was told to rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. What washes away the sins? Not the water of baptism, but the blood of Christ. But the blood of Christ does that, according to the teaching of God, when we're baptized into Christ. Here we see several things, then, involved in this system of salvation. Grace, redemption, faith, blood, the remission of sins that are past. And then he says, through the forbearance of God. God is so kindly, so merciful, so patient, that God has provided for the salvation of a sinful and undeserved humanity. And then in verse 26, Paul says something that concerning God that is indeed marvelous to behold. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, God's way of making man righteous, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Now sin demands that it be punished. There would be no justice if sin was not punished. God does not treat sin and righteousness just the same. Righteousness is rewarded, but sin is punished. But God has provided a way for man to escape his personal punishment by providing one who was punished on man's behalf, and that was by the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. Christ paid the penalty for man's sins. And in him suffering as he did, God was just toward the condemnation of sin. But furthermore, he is the justifier of those that believe in Christ. The mercy and the justice of God meet together at the cross of Christ. That's where God accomplished for man what man could never accomplish for himself, by himself, would never be deserving, could never earn it, could in no way ever be bestowed his salvation if left alone. It is dependent upon the system that God has provided. You see, the purpose of God's plan is stated here, that God might be just. The justice of God is because God is just, and there is this penalty against sin. But the second purpose of this plan is that God has provided a way for man to be justified in spite of his condemnation. And in the sacrifice of Christ, as I said, the justice and the mercy of God, they are both manifested and distributed. And then Paul says, where is boasting then? It is excluded. There's nothing about this plan of which man can boast. All the credit belongs to Almighty God. Paul says, by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Now notice, it is by law, not a law of works, not a law of doing righteous enough to be saved, not a law like the law of Moses, but by a law nonetheless. It's called the law of faith. And Paul says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law, that is, without the deeds of the Mosaic law, which was a law of works. Then, having mentioned the need of salvation for both Jew and Gentile, he says, is God the God of the Jews only? He says, no, he's the God of the Gentiles as well. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith, and uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. We establish the law. You see, the law of Moses had foretold the coming of the faith of Jesus Christ. Christ said he didn't come to destroy the law. Paul says the law was nailed to the cross. It was taken out of the way. Why was it taken out of the way? Because it served its purpose. It accomplished what God intended for it to accomplish. That was to bring us to the faith of Jesus Christ. Christ didn't destroy the law. He said he came to fulfill the law, Matthew 5 and verse 17. The law of Moses is validated. It is shown to be of great value because it did what God designed and intended for the law of Moses to do. It pointed to the coming of salvation by this system of righteousness that God has revealed in the gospel by and through Jesus Christ. The law of Moses has not been made void. It was established. It was shown to be what God intended for it to be. You see, the system of faith then is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. The things that they foretold, the things that they said God had promised, God kept his promise. All of those prophecies, all of those promises that God had made down through the years, particularly through the Israelite people, as well as the Gentiles, it came to pass. It was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible teaches us that grace and truth came through Christ, and the law was by Moses. Well, there was law under the Old Testament system, and there is law under the New Testament system. There was grace and truth under the Old Testament. There's grace and truth. Now, it was different grace, different truth, different manifestations of it, different things that men were to obey. But you see, God has provided for man a way whereby he can be saved that he could not merit. His boasting is excluded. God is not in debt to anybody. God doesn't owe anybody salvation because of their goodness. It's because all have sinned. That goodness to forgive our own sins does not exist. It is dependent upon the merit of the blood of the Son of God. Well, with this, we're going to conclude our lesson for today. We'll take up our study next time with chapter 4. We're going to see that the principles involved in this system of salvation, it's not brand new. It's something that had existed before, and we're going to see that in Abraham and in David. This is The Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.